while I was down in Georgia and even more and up in South Carolina, it was like every time I started, and one of those nights, he said, say this, you are one choice away from your destiny. And I'll tell you, that's riveting. One choice away from your destiny. And by the way, you have extremely surprised me. I love you. I saw something in you I've never seen before. You've surprised me. God bless you. One choice away from your destiny. There's a lot of things going on in this world, and we are making a lot of choices. Sometimes we're influenced by the people we love to make those choices. And we kind of miss the point here, because God says, if you listen to me, your whole destiny will unfold. But it seems like we go around that mountain and go around that mountain and go around that mountain, and we seem to think that we need the approval of everyone to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. He created you for such a time and for such a season. I want to remind you that you were created for purposes. You were. You are. Amen? And if you're alive today, it's because, number one, either you're walking your destiny, or number two, you're going around the mountain, he's going to give you another chance. Because he knows a whole lot more than we know. He's going to give you another chance for your choice. Amen? Do you believe that? So, you may be a big corporate leader. You may think that you don't have anything really to offer this world. And yet, God has such a great plan. He has a great plan for what he's putting into you, what he's putting into your children, what he's putting into the people around you that you're going to meet, those divine appointments. Amen? You know, when I was a little girl, the Lord gifted me with things that I was born with, and I didn't understand them. And because I didn't have church-going parents, there was something that happened to me the day that I was born, that I was declared and dedicated to the Lord by my grandmother. She held me up. I was born on the kitchen table of my grandmother's house. My mom was racing a stock car, 9 months pregnant with me, went over the finish line in the Powder Puff Derby, rolled the car, went right into labor. She won that race, but totaled my dad's car. And my grandmother was like 3 or 4 blocks away from that racetrack. My grandmother at the time, and I didn't find this out until I was 38 or 39 years old, but that grandmother was a Four Squares pastor. I did not know that. Okay? And I kind of walked through life and tried to understand why I was so different. And later in time, I got to, you know, I discovered that I had brothers and sisters. My mom and dad had given away or sold. And so I knew I was supposed to find them. I didn't know how it was all going to evolve. I didn't want to hurt my parents, so I was real subtle at it. And I backed off for a little while. But I had some Mormon relatives that worked right in Utah, where that big piece of machinery is, that, I mean, it was a computer that goes into your history, and they find all about you. And I had a cousin that kept saying, Nancy, when you're ready to hear the truth, I have the truth. I was born with physical issues, and God has been carrying me the whole time. And I ended up down in Seattle because of physical issues. They're fighting for my life. In fact, I flew down on a plane emergency. The ambulance met me there in Seattle. You know, it's just been things like that. But God always overcomes because he's in control. Amen? Anyway, I suppose that's why I have to write the book. The books. Amen? But anyway, I just called her up and asked her to come and meet me, because what had happened was, I did find out what two of the kids' last names were through some relatives. And one day my sister-in-law called me up and she says, Nancy, you've got to do something. And I went, what's going on? She said, well, your sister and your brother are driving me nuts. Every time they hear this name, Every time they hear it, they want to know, is that their brother? Is that their sister? And there's more out there. There's three more out there. But they wanted to know if that was the relative. Well, ever since I was a little girl, God has just given me this uncanny favor. How many know me and know God has favor on me? Flat, okay? And I never take advantage of it. I'm just kind of dumb as a doornail sometimes. I don't realize what's happening when it's unfolding. And that's good, because then I can't take the credit for it. God always gets the glory. And it isn't until somebody points it out and goes, how did you do that? I didn't do it. God did it. Amen? So anyway, they asked me what I could do to help out, because this was a very hard thing. To have 4 to 5 brothers and sisters out there that have been sold or what have you. And it's in here. See, we all have choices. So when I was down there going through all of that, I finally called my cousin and I said, okay, I'm ready. This is the name. She goes, do you know where they were last at? I said, I talked to my mother and I begged her to just give me a little bit of information. 3 days later, a card comes in the mail and it has 4 names on it. She circled the 3rd name and said, I think this will take you to your brother and sister. And shaking. I'm telling you, I went to that phone and walked away from that phone because I knew that if I didn't do it, I was going to lose a great opportunity to meet my brothers and sisters. But I also knew that I'd never be able to turn it back. And I also knew that once the Pandora box opened, my parents were going to be hurt so bad. And I didn't want to hurt them. I thought I had their trust and understanding. So anyway, I called and talked to my nephew. What a blessing, because within 6 months he had died from a car accident. But he said he was home that day for some reason, and I just asked him a few questions, and I said, look, I think I'm your dad's sister. And I have some other brothers and sisters where I'm at that I know that would want to know him and meet him. But I need to talk to him first before I give out this name to my brothers and sisters up here, because I don't know how they're going to handle it. Because see, this is one choice away from our destiny. And I told the young man, I said, don't say anything until he comes home from work. He's one of those on the computer type engineers that does companies and factories and, you know, like an architectural jar or whatever. That's the kind of work he does online. But my nephew didn't wait. He couldn't stand it. Oh, and the other thing was the sister, just this period of time, he had been up in Utah, and he had moved back to San Diego, Santee, in fact, and he'd only been there a couple weeks. He had his job move him down there. So he was like two blocks away from my sister, Connie. And she was in the hospital and just had her first baby. And she had a baby late in her life, you know, in her late 30s. And I was like, I'm not going to mess that up. I'm a mother. I don't want her to know anything. I told the young man, I said, don't say anything about her. I was just asking if she was around the area, if he knew her name, did he know her? And he goes, that's Aunt Connie, and she lives like 3 blocks from here, 2 blocks from here. She's in the hospital. She just had a baby girl. I went, oh, my gosh. I said, please, don't say anything. We're going to give her a little time to enjoy this new baby. Baby, whole family, I couldn't see it. And he promised me he would not say anything to his dad, right? But I definitely did not want his mom to know yet, my sister. So, 20 minutes later, Larry calls me. He was at work. His son called him and told him. He broke down crying because when he was a little boy, he broke into a strong box and he found out he had other brothers and sisters. And because he had broken into that strong box, he could never go to his adopted parents and tell them that he knew about Nancy and Randy and Debbie. So he lived with that, angered with that. And he just lost it, and his boss said, get out of here. He went home, got a couple of drinks down his gullet, because he's an alcoholic, which is really common in my family. And he had some drinks, got drunk enough to have the courage, and he called me, and he did that in 20 minutes. And he couldn't wait to see me. And he couldn't wait to know the truth. I couldn't tell him the truth. I didn't know what happened. But he wanted to know the truth. And he couldn't keep it secret. He'd already called Connie. Ah. And God worked it out with his incredible favor. And before my mom passed, she got to meet Connie, got to meet Larry, got all the siblings together. And no wonder I have to write a book. And it was not good. I mean, my dad took because it was so naughty what they did, and because they actually used money, they sold those children, and the people that bought them had the documentation on me, how at the last minute they changed their mind not to sell me. My dad begged my mom. I'm born on that kitchen table. I'm his first daughter. He said, I can't let her go. Let me name her. I'll make you a deal. I'll never have anything to do with her. And my father never really had anything to do with me until after I was 50 years old. One choice away from your destiny. How did I turn out like I turned out? I mean, it's amazing. I was the one. We moved. We went to different school every year, two or three different schools, different subdivision, different towns all over the place, from Southern California to Northern California, in this town and that town. It's an interesting testimony, right? But I was the one that went door to door and knocked and said, do you go to church? Can I catch a ride? It was in me because of what my grandmother did to me that first 20 minutes of my life while they're arguing about that mom had already sold me. She had to give the money back. She had already spent it. They had to give the money back. But another one came up and she was able to make it right later and sold Connie. It's an interesting story, isn't it? You don't think things happen like that today? They do. And we wonder why a lot of the kids out there in the world are so screwed up. And why all my brothers and sisters are addicts. They're addicted to something and suffering. My parents are both dead. I have one brother that's died because of needles, bad needles. But why me? Because my grandmother took me away from that kitchen table that I had just been born on, still smothered in my birth suit, holds me up, and later I had relatives and my own grandmother tell me what she did. She said, Lord, I will probably never get to see her again for the rest of my life, but I swear to you, I will never quit praying for Nancy, and I am dedicating her to you. I am dedicating her to you all the days of her life. So I could be really mad at her. She lived to be 99 and a half, by the way. And she never forgot me. And I did bring her to Alaska. She introduced me to the Holy Spirit in a way I had no idea. Taught me how to pray like I never thought I could pray. I still didn't, when the first time I met her and she stayed with me for 30 days, I was scared to death of her. But I'm going to tell you that by the time she left, I knew that she was bona fide And I would love her all the days of my life. And I did. But she saved my life. Amen? Amen. One choice away from your destiny. You may have had a great family, and you don't care that you had a great family, and maybe you had good finances, and you had opportunity for education, but you didn't care. You want to do it your own way. Well, it's pulling you out of your destiny. And God's going to slap you in line because He has a plan. He has a plan for all of us. It's going to be wow, and it's going to be good. I can't hear that song without breaking down and crying because it's the truth. All of our life circumstances, we're always going to have our ups and downs. But who wins? Who wins? The bottom line is we win. Amen? We win. You know, I feel so good being released from that stupid monitor. Amen? Now, don't be judging me because I threw that thing off. I feel good. Where did I do my Bible? Oh. Amen? You better be careful, Sarah. Okay, I talked to you last night and I opened up. And the whole time I'm talking, I want you to think about your choices you've been making. And maybe there's some choices that you need to make, and they're not easy choices. They're not. They're not going to be the way that everybody else wants you to go. You got to go where you sense the Spirit of God moving you. And I saw, when I prayed for you, Matt, I saw God taking you into a special education of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be a defender of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of that young man. I can't wait. It's going to be a season. You're going to kick and stomp. I see it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, last night when I opened up, I shared with you about the first word that the Lord gave me. But before I did that, I gave you four words that God said were about 2014. What was it? Number one, this is year of the Feast of the Trumpets. All year long. Amen? And it started the 5th of September. That's the beginning of the of Israel's new year. Their year floats. When it starts. Ours starts January 1st. Theirs floats anywhere from August to September. It's very interesting. And when he gave me the word that it was the Feast of the Trumpets, and he said, that is true. He said, this is also the year of open door. The number 4 is open door. Open door of opportunity. If you believe, amp it up. If you believe, watch and see the opportunities and the doors that God is going to be opening for you. Amen? And step into it. Step into it. No matter how odd it might seem, I'll tell you, the best is yet to come. This is your year if you lay claim to it. Amen? Us Alaskans, homesteaders, is used to be really involved when I first moved up here. Lay claim to your land. Amen? Lay claim to your land. This is your year. Open door. And when I think of open door, I think of Jacob's ladder and the angels coming up and down. And see, that's another story. When God sent me to Seward, and he put me in the snow face down. The girls are trying to pull me out of the snow because the Lord started showing me the angels coming through this open heaven over Seward, Alaska, and it was sending those angels all over the state of Alaska. God was doing a movement in Alaska in that time, in that season, for Alaska, for the greater Anchorage area. When I think of ACS, and when I think of Abbott Loop, and I think of all those churches and the directions they went, God was moving powerfully. And here I am face down, and then God sends me outside to my family. There's a lot going on. My brother-in-law got in a head-on accident in Riverside, California, and it was all covered up because it was the mayor's son who was 16 years old, driving without a license, had been drinking, went through the intersection, hit my brother-in-law, totaled his car. Oh, he ended up getting a brand new car. But within a couple of years, he had passed because he was carrying cancer. Nobody knew it, and it just activated it. And he was gone. Went to be with the Lord. Interesting, huh? Opportunities. So that open door and that open heaven, what are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be at? Are we positioned, prone, prepared for what God's going to be doing? Amen? It's yours. You have to decide if it's yours. Amen? Number three, this is a year of salvation and redemption. Salvation and redemption. But it's also, there's another word, I'm missing the word right now, but I'm not going to push back to it. But there's another word that goes with it because it's 14. I've heard that, but this is before the Lord gave me. But I have heard that, the year of rain, God's reign. Amen? Anyway, the fourth one, he said, now this is the one that I'm giving you. This is the one for 2014. He said, you tell them, anyone will have ears to hear, that this is a year. It's the sound of the trumpet, right? The Feast of the Trumpets. But he said, this is a year of the sound of the Lord. He said, you tell them to listen. This is a year to be listening to what God is saying. That's why this picture up here is so neat, because I had shared last night that I was speaking to a college group that I've been, I mean, the kids are all growing up and they're out of college and having children, but they're always managing to find out where I'm at and put meetings on and always want me to be there. They follow me around. Well, one of the gals there went home and painted a picture. And if you come up and look at this picture, you're going to see that she painted in the branches the word, listen, right here. So you got to come up and look at it. It's just really, really awesome because she heard it. She heard it. There were a lot of other things that happened at that meeting that has to do with our government that I got to have ears. I got to listen about how they are listening to what we're doing and what we're saying. And they're all over. And there was a woman that was there that works for, what is it called, the SNI, or what was it, Debbie? NSA. NSA, one of the ladies that worked there. And I was being really careful because they were all talking and all nervous and everything. And she said, it's true, I work for them. This is what we do. Yes, we do monitor what you put on your internet. I went, well, I don't live here. You live in America? Yes. You're being listened to. They're reading what you're writing. Your phone calls are being watched. You know, I'm not going to make a big deal about it, okay? We got some stuff going on in this nation that we need to be watching, okay? And if you're going to write something that's not good on your email, you need to be caught anyway. Amen? Write it, handwrite it, and send it. If you've got to write your sweetheart, handwrite. You need to write him. He's way back there. Anyway, so that was very interesting to me, to listen to the sound. And then he began, and I shared with you how he sent me up on the mountain and had us blow the shofar and listen, and he changed the weather phenomena. And after he did it, there was that crack sound. We're not sure what it was, like a sonic boom. And all of a sudden, all the clouds that were in the sky, boom, they were gone. I mean, it was phenomenal. Before we got down, they were gone. It was clear. And it wasn't. We were in between two cloud bases. But what was really neat, what he was showing me, is what you say and what you declare, if you get in the proper place and send it out, he said it takes 20 minutes for your word to go around the world and come back to you. 20 minutes. You want to talk about redemption. Amen? That's powerful. That's what he told me up on that mountain. That was his whole purpose. That it's not going to come back void. Amen? Think I'm crazy? Go ahead. I do once in a while too. Anyway, so then I talked to you about alliance, and God said the first word was alliance. I told you, when I've been sharing this, I've been talking about an Oreo cookie. An Oreo cookie. And the top of the cookie is cookie, then the middle is the cream, and then the bottom is the bottom part of the cookie. And remember when we were kids, we'd break them apart and we'd eat the, I mean, I wasn't really into the chocolate cookie part. I wanted the cream. I'd lick it off and then I'd throw the cookie part away. I used to do that. But this is really exciting to me, what God kept showing me. He said the first part is alliance. Teach them alliance. Tell them to walk in alliance. Walk with your brothers. Get out of this mindset of theology and these different churches, and they won't cross over. They won't partner. We're not walking together. What is the United States hearing about the church in America? What is the other country saying? And I'm a traveler of many places around the world, and you ought to hear what they say about the American Christians. We do shoot our own. We do. And that was what he was addressing, is form an alliance. We need to save our country. We, as Christians, I'm not talking about all the nonsense out there. That will all wash out if we would just stand up in righteousness and be who we are in Christ. Amen? And I've voiced this, is God said, you know, there are 21 sins that are going to be active. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says there's 21 sins that will be active when Jesus returns. And those 21 sins are active today in the church. And the last one is, how does it go? He said, you walk in a form of godliness, but deny the power within. You deny the power within. And when you talk to kids that go off to college that have not got a good, strong foundation of the Spirit of the Lord living in them, the power of God in you, they get ate up. They get crushed. And it comes from the professors. And then the other kids come along because they don't know. I remember one last year at the beginning of the school year, Henry come home one day, and it was like 6 weeks into the he works down at the college down the peninsula, about 6 weeks into it, and he said they had this kid in the class, you know, 20 years old or whatever, that had come in from New York. And every time they opened up, well, a lot of the kids that are in their second year, they know Henry is a pastor. And every once in a while, some of his classes are long. He works in petroleum engineering and industry. And he's also the chairman over all that department. So he's involved with all the kids in that area, boys and girls. In fact, he just married a couple that met in his classroom 3 years ago. And they came to him. He watched them fall in love. He knew they were going to end up married. One of the girl, her daddy is actually the sheriff of the sheriff's department in Sedona. But they came in and said, Professor Henry, we want you to marry us. And he did. He said, I want to do some counseling with you. We're going to get together, and I think you know what you're doing, but we just kind of have this standing rule with the pastor down on the peninsula. About 4 or 5 weeks of let's just get together and talk about marriage and what it's really about. Because he wants it to succeed. We want it to succeed. Amen? But anyway, here's this young guy, and Henry'd have this class. And in this class, every once in a while, one of the kids would go, hey, Professor Haney, I have a biblical question I want to bring on the table. Is this a good time? Henry will look at the rest of the class, and he'll go, you guys want to go on a rabbit trail for a few minutes? Oh, that's okay, that's okay. They take a break. And so they get in a biblical discussion. This happens all the time. Henry has to come home and do a lot of his work he should do at the college because he can't get any privacy in his office. Kids will come knock on the door and say, do you think I could talk to you? And they talk about their problems. They talk about their problems with their parents, their dying parents, their finances, their faith. I mean, I am blessed all the time because they keep a track of when I'm in and out of the state. And when I'm getting ready to come back to the state, I mean, they come in and they go, we heard your wife's coming back. Here, we got your gift certificate. You need to take her to dinner. Henry just cracks up at it. Henry doesn't go to dinner, by the way. He doesn't. My husband eats salmon about 6 days a week. You know, he overcame cancer, and he's determined to live on salmon. Go ahead, Henry. It's fine with me. And I'll eat it once in a while. I like salmon once in a while, but not a steady diet. But it's been really good for him and his healing. But anyway, getting back to this story of this 6 weeks, one day Henry was going down the hall, and this kid was walking by him, And you know, he's not a kid from our state, so you know he looks different and dresses different. And he's walking by Henry, and he goes, "Professor Henry, I have a question for you. You know that dude you've been talking about, that Jesus guy, is he a professor here at the college? Because I think I need to talk to him." You know what? I bet you don't think that's really happening today, but it is. I'm telling you, it is happening. You go in and you got to go right to the basics. And God is saying in this hour, we need to be in the basics, you guys. We don't need to get way up here. We need to stay down here and get it to the basics and let them take it to a new level. Then you can go on. Amen? But he says, this is a year of going back to basics. Then we win. Amen? We have been taught so much about not being Christianese and talking Christianese. But I'm telling you, the bottom line about that Christianese is we've gotten away from talking the true word of God. Amen? Unless you get some bold people up here like we've had for this conference. That's why they're chosen. They're not afraid to speak the truth. Amen? And hopefully it opens the door. So, with saying that word of alliance, I also have to remind you that there is an alliance that's been formed in America. And when I did the borders of America, when we went and did the southern border, that was where you would have thought I would have been scared the most. It wasn't. My heart was broke the most on the western border. That's when God gave me the deepest stuff and the hardest stuff. And I just wept and cried. And it was the first time in my life I felt a sense of hopelessness. This ministry is called Point to Hope Ministries because God said, "I walk in so much hope." That He named it. But I'll tell you, Sarah was with me in that car, and wasn't I a mess, Sarah? I was a mess. It was like He was telling me these things, and it's like, what is our way out? God always gives us a way out, doesn't He? He did. But it's going to hurt. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to be honest. And maybe that'll all be in the book too, hey? That sound good? Okay, so He did say after the western border, He says, "I want you to do the southern border. When you do the southern border, I'm going to introduce you to the five spirits that reign over America." I went, really? But it didn't scare me. And He says, "I'm going to tell you how to take the pillage back." Very simple, very basic. So I go back and I fly back down. This is the third border that we're going to do. And we get down there and He starts telling me one by one. He said, number one, they have formed an alliance in America. I want you to know when a spirit is working with another spirit, they're desperate. Number one spirit is this warring spirit. The warring spirit. And when He gave me that word, the warring spirit, He says, I'm talking about the warring spirit from the level of the home, in the church, in the community, in the government, in the state, in the nation. And you mothers, you know what I'm talking about. You got your kids at home, and you know what? They're never all happy at the same time. Have you noticed that? I mean, one of them ends up manifesting. It's like, why can't you all just give me a week apiece? But something comes up, some attitude, something comes up. Oh, you only need one kid to know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like one week it's fine, the next week it's not, and the war is on. And that is a spirit of war. And that spirit of war reigns over all the other four that I'm going to tell you. But that warring spirit, where's the peace in your home? Uncover it. It's that birthing of a warring spirit. You got to get it out of your home. Amen? Ask God to bring peace and maintain peace. It's in the church. I'll tell you, there are people that will not cross across the pews to the other side, let alone go across the street to another church and denomination. Because it's war, war, war. Yeah. The next one is the spirit of greed. And listen, you can go, oh, yeah, that's our government. That must be Wall Street. That must be our stock market. That must be this, that, whatever. And the Lord says, don't even think that. Don't even go there, Nancy. He said, I'm telling you, that spirit of greed is in the church so bad. And he says, you want me to prove it? You go to their house and go in their driveway. Look what kind of car they drive. Go in their house and see what's hanging on their walls. Open their closet and see what the clothes are that they have. And watch and see the greed that's in the church. Come on, you guys. I know I'm not telling lies here. We have a lot of greed in position, seeking attention, wanting to have that place. I mean, I've got an awesome team here, but in the beginning, I want to tell you something. It was like, I want to be next to her. I want to be next to her. Oh, for crying out loud. I'm leaving. I'm nothing but a servant. Amen? And they all got over it. Didn't they, Kim? She still needs deliverance. They work so good together. You'll marvel at the work that they do together and the love we have for each other. We would die for each other. One gets sick, man, we're just right there on either side holding them up. Amen? I mean, Evelyn had her illnesses. Lewis had his illnesses. Sarah's had her illnesses. Debbie's had her illnesses. She's gone through some secret things. She's gone through some things. Amen? We've all warred together in a positive way. Amen? It's awesome to work with these ladies. It is awesome. It's awesome. You know what's really awesome is when you see someone and from the first day you met them, God gives you the lineup of where they're going. It's powerful. And you walk through it with them and encourage them to get to that place. And everything out there lays itself down. Every mountain tries to get in the circumstance. And I'm going, no, this is where you're so supposed to be. When I see them overlooked and shot over, it's like, God, why did you let that happen? You told me. Just keep praying for her and encouraging her where she's going. And you know what? The best is still yet to come. Amen? Amen? Isn't that the truth? That's many, many people. I just love to see the young people and watch them grow up and you know, I it's like Matt, you know, I'm going to be a drummer. I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. I went, no, you're not. He didn't like me. I'd come in the door. He'd go out the door. Liz says, it's okay. He really does like you. And I said, don't lie. he didn't like me. His older brother, I don't think he liked me either. And I'll tell you, he would sit at the table and he'd have his head down like that. And then one day he started listening. You know, then there was an incident that happened that I'm praying about that God will heal. You know, I have a special daughter as well. And when things happen, I mean, it's like half the time if Debbie's with me, I mean, I think Christy wants to kill her. I mean, Sarah one time came and she says, you can come to the door, but you cannot come in. And Sarah, all she could see was that scissors on that counter. And Christy's going, come here in the bathroom and let me show you where the devil showed me where he's going to kill you and Dad. And she's at the door going, oh my God, I think I got to hide those scissors, you know. You guys have no idea. If you've never experienced things like that, I'll tell you, I can joke about it. I can have tongue in cheek about it. It was really tough times, but they were tough times that my friends held me up through it. Held my husband up through it. And we're making it. Amen? But I'll tell you, that's what the devil is. He's going to bring in the greed. He's going to bring in the warring spirit, and then he's going to bring in the religious spirit. That's the third one, the religious spirit. And that religious spirit, I'll tell you what, that causes more problems than anything in this world. That religious spirit comes in and tries to set things up to bring opposition. You'll see it come in on the worship team. You'll see it come in the home. I mean, that religious spirit, you got the husband and the wife fighting on who should be in control. And they're both trying to act like they're not in control, and the kids are totally confused. You know what I'm saying? That religious spirit says, you know, this is what my dad did or my mom did. This is what we're going to do. What did God do? And you can finish my sentences. I'm just doing little short ones here. Okay, and then the fourth one is the most interesting. And just imagine a man, and I'll call it a man, comes in the room and he's wearing a hoodie and you cannot see his face and he comes in. You don't know where he came. Did he come off the street? Did he come in a car? And he walks through the room and the next thing you know, this one is sick, this one's sick, this one's sick, this one's mad, this one's this, this one's that, this one is doing addictions and whatever. And that person just kind of moves back out of the building and it takes weeks and months and years for all these different individuals that just got attacked and you don't know where it came from. And you don't know where it went. What it's called is the mystery spirit. And that's the truth. It comes in and it attacks, and you don't know how it got in here. You know, it's like these physical ailments that are going on with me. Where the heck did that come from? You know, who's praying against me? I don't care. God's for me. Amen? Amen? You know, those opportunities that you're praying for and hoping for and the doors keep closing. I'll tell you what, that mystery spirit comes in and interferes with it. There's seasons and times in your life where you're hoping you're going this direction and all of a sudden it explodes and it doesn't happen. Because that mystery spirit, have you ever seen an area where all of a sudden there's like three, four, they go, oh, it always happens in threes. It's more than threes. And you'll hear a group of kids that have committed suicide. I'll tell you, one of my toughest things was going to India last year. And when we went to India, they took us to the mall. And it's kind of neat to go to the mall. Everybody's different. You're not going to get anything with hamburger in it. I just thought I'd let you know. And you know, they worship the cows, and the cows have the right-of-way on the highways and the streets, and et cetera, et cetera. If a leaf flies by and somebody likes the leaf, they form a monument for it, and they start worshiping it. I mean, they do. They worship everything. I don't know how many motorcycles either hit us from the front or the back. We'd be just driving along and interesting, huh? But the sad thing is we went to that mall, and I went up to like the third floor. It was kind of an unusual mall. You came in the mall like this, and then you went down to the end, and you went up in the elevators, and they went back, and it was like that was the main thing. That was the only elevator, and it was a very nice mall, and lots of stores with stuff, Indian stuff, and a lot of commercial stuff that America makes and China makes and whatever. But I think we were on the second or third floor, and I'm noticing that there's this big net out there, this big net. And I'm thinking, are they getting ready for a trapeze show? What's the deal here? And they said, the kids were coming in anywhere from 4 or 5 years old to 18, 19, 20 years old, going to the top floor and diving off and committing suicide. And so they had to start putting the nets up. And you won't hear about it, but the same thing was happening in China. The kids were going into the malls and they were diving, just hopelessness. That's the spirit, you guys. That's the spirit of death. And that spirit comes, and you don't know where it's come from, and you don't know when it's going to go, but maybe you see trains and ships, and maybe you see airplanes, and it's like a suddenly, and it's like it just happens and happens and happens. Or people have a disease in this area, or there's a group of people that get tongue cancer, why? Or a group of people that have brain cancer, or they have prostate cancer, and it's like a movement goes through, and you're going, is this a coincidence? I know 5 people with that. And this area, and then all of a sudden it moves and it's gone, and you don't know where it went. I'm talking about a real thing here. And then he said the fifth one is the most yuckiest one. And even the warring spirit doesn't even like to stand next to him. But the next spirit is the spirit of perversion and lust. Lust and perversion. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that America has embraced that spirit of lust and perversion. It's on the TV. It's on the billboards on the highway. It's in Sears. It's in Penny's. You look at some of the clothes that are available for our kids and our young mothers. You know, what's revealed is the bottom, the boys' bottoms. I mean, I get in an airplane, I just can't believe it. These guys are wearing their pants down here. It's like I can see their underwear. I can see their whatever. I'm going like this. And the girls, they've got their stuff down here. And, I mean, the boys are looking at the boobs. And the girls are looking at, I don't know what anybody's excited about a butt crack about. I don't know what that's about. But, I mean, it's like if they knew where it traditionally came from, they wouldn't have any part of it. Amen? Amen? And I'm not prejudiced. I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. But I want to tell you what, I don't want to give that an excuse. So, that's the five spirits pouring over America. But we win because we can take the pillage back if we know how to bind and chain by the word of God, by Jesus' name. We can bind. We've got to bind it first before we go back and take the pillage back. We can take it back. Church, you can take it back. We can form those alliances and we can pull things together. And yes, you say, I'm just one. You partner with your brother, your sister, and you start speaking the basics of the Word of God. You start speaking Jesus Christ, and don't you back off. Amen? If they don't want you to use Jesus Christ at work, then quit the job. You know, it's time we start protesting and for our rights. Amen? And you say, oh, I need my job. I need my job. Well, everybody else seems to be going on welfare. Let's try it. I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, so that's the first one. Now I'm going to talk about three others. And this is exciting. This is wow to me. He said the first one of the cream of this cookie is, he said, you tell them to listen to the sound of prayer. This means tonight, whatever you're hearing out of my voice, I pray that you take responsibility what you're hearing. He said, listen to the sound of prayer. What does that mean? He said, this is what it means. How are they praying? Are they praying with expectation? Who are they praying to? Are they bothering to pray? Do you know the power of your words, if you're using your scripture, and the power of your word when you believe it will not come back void? The Lord is wanting us to listen to the sound of our prayers. Are we praying with expectation? It's like when I brought you guys up here tonight, it's like I can bring you up here and we can pray a lot, but if we're not praying for a response, we're not praying for it to happen, it's not going to happen because God wants us to activate our faith. So he said, tell them, listen to the sound of your prayers. Listen to how your pastor is praying. Listen to how your husband's praying, how your wife is praying. Listen to how your children are praying. And teach them how to pray. Teach them who to pray for. Teach them the word of God. It will not come back void. Amen? And just like I was talking tonight, I believe it's Luke. Luke 11:13 is where it talks about ask, seek, and knock. But it gets down to the end and it says, you know, how much more, you know, what is it? A thief will even be good to his own children. How much more will God be good to you? And he said, just ask me and I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Just ask. Amen? It's that simple. It's like, Lord, forgive me. I'm not in the right place. I know I have not got a good attitude. I know I've been operating in fear. Forgive me. Forgive me and help me be strong. And you know what? He's right there to make you strong. Amen? And then you turn around and somebody goes, where are you getting that strength? How can you do that? How can you be standing in front of all those people preaching? And if you knew what I've been through since back November, you know, this kind of stroke, that kind of stroke, this kind of nonsense, that kind of nonsense. You know, ambulance rides because they gave me the wrong medicine. And I mean, that was a nightmare. It took me all day to get leveled out so I wasn't throwing up and being sick on myself both ends. I mean, it was a nightmare. But God, I just kept laying there thinking, Lord, I know this is just for a short time. I know I'm going to get stronger. I don't know what I'm going to learn out of this, but to God be the glory. Amen? And I had my friends. They stood by me and prayed me through. Amen? And they kept trying to find drugs to do an antidote because they had me on the wrong medicine. And I had the nicest ambulance driver sit back there with me and talk to me, but I couldn't even open my eyes. That's how sick I was. But I'll tell you what, I'm standing here tonight because God said I was going to stand here tonight. Amen? And if I'm boring you, well, okay, I'm boring you. But I'll tell you what, aren't you excited that God said go back to the basics, pray and listen. And listen what other people are praying, amen? And don't do those glamorous out of the sky prayers. Get down to basics, amen? The second word. And this is awesome. The Lord said, tell them to listen to the sound of praise. Listen to the sound of praise. And I'll tell you, when he gave me this word, and I ended up down at a church I was ministering in, and I remember before I got up to speak, the pastor goes, gets up there, and I don't know what came out of his mouth, but it was like it shook me to the core. It's like, where's God in this? You know, let's let the Holy Spirit have his way, but if anything happened, he had it shut down like that. I was like, holy smokes, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know why they were putting up with me. I can be as charismatic as they can get. But you want to know something? Jesus was the greatest charismatic on this earth. Amen? Amen? And I am not ashamed. If you want to call me charismatic, go for it. Take your best shot. Amen? I'm not enough charismatic, I don't think. I should be down on 4th Avenue. I will be, by the way. That's my goal. Okay, not to do right. Okay, so he's saying, you just got it, bless your heart. Okay, so what is it? The first one is, he says, listen to the sound of prayer. Then he says, the next one is, listen to the sound of praise. I went, listen to the sound of praise. God, this is so basic. He said, that's right. He said, I want you to ask them to listen to the sound of praise. Are they praising me for what I've done or for who I am? We've got to go back to who he is. He wants to hear about who he is before we start telling him all the great things he's done. Amen? He wants to hear that. Believe me, we need to honor him and thank him. But he says, I want them to praise me for who I am. Because when you start praising God for who he is, there's something that happens. It's almost like you get shifted. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what discouragement is going on in your life, no matter where your finances are, your health is, your relationships are, I'm telling you, when you shift into that place and start praising God for who he is, the depression lifts up. It does. You know, it's like when I counsel people, that's the first thing I do when I start, before I counsel them, I start praying for them. And if they listen, I'm praising God for them. They're precious. Praising God for them. Praising God for who he is in them. Amen? So it does. It changes who you are when you start praising God for who he is. And that oppression begins to lift. The next thing you know, you're not depressed anymore. The next thing you know, you're just thanking God. And by the way, the next thing you know, when you go to the grocery store, somebody's saying, hi, how are you? Where have you been? You look like you've lost weight or something. You're thinner in the face, and you're smiling, and you're happy. Things going good for you. I'm telling you, the glory of the Lord is shining on you. That's why the Lord said on the plane when I was flying down before he gave me this word, when I was flying down, he goes, Nancy, he says, how much do I weigh? Debbie was sitting next to me reading a book or something, and I just started chuckling. She goes, what? And I said, he just asked me the stupidest question. I don't know if I'm going to answer him. She said, what did he ask you? And I said, he asked me how much he weighed. I thought he weighed. Debbie went on to do whatever she's doing, ignoring me. And he goes, Nancy, how much do you think I weigh? I said, Lord, that's all relevant. What do you mean? And he says, well, how much did I weigh when you first asked me into your heart? I said, oh, my heart was so light. He said, that's right. He said, the problem is we carry the weightiness of the world instead of the weightiness of God. And he says, you'll find out. When you get where you're going, I'll let you know. I found out what he was saying. He said, what is my weightiness? That word in the Hebrew is gabad. It means his glory, his weightiness. Amen? His lightness. Amen? His light shining in you. That's his weightiness. I was so excited because that really makes a difference. Are you walking in his weightiness? Amen? Then he said, I'm going to give you some words how you can praise me. Because I was like, by the way, I need a volunteer. How about you, Matt? Come on up here. Just a minute. I'm going to make it easy on you. You think that's less enough? A little more? Would you volunteer? Sure. Okay, I want you to face them, and I want you to hold this out. I have a friend here who taught me this.
Oh, well, thanks for taking extra drinks.
Yeah. Just hold it out there, and I want you to tell me what you think it weighs. Two or three ounces?
Yeah.
Think you can hold it very long out there?
For a while.
Okay, you just hold it. I had a friend that teaches, and I've taught it many, many ways, and I have not forgot you in this illustration you gave me. Anyway, we do carry a lot of things in our life, don't we? And we think that they have no weight, right? How's it going?
Somehow this has gotten heavier.
I thought so. I think it's going to get more heavier. So when we carry stuff in our lives that God doesn't intend for us to carry, it is going to be heavier. You're going to have your mind on it. You're going to think about it. And guess what? It's going to weigh more than it really does weigh. It becomes our total focus. Have you noticed that? Anybody in that, before we had the prayer up in the front, because I don't want to take anything away of what God did tonight, but before you came tonight, wasn't there some heavy stuff that you've been freed from? And it was heavy. How you doing?
Kind of trucking along the same old path.
Getting heavier?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know, isn't it?
Extra water in.
You wished I took another drink, huh?
I want to.
But see, the only way that you can get rid of that heavy load is to let it go. And it's that easy. But see, that's what praise is about. When we start praising, thank you very much. Interesting illustration, wasn't it? A little tiny bottle of water begins to get heavier and heavier. I mean, I have had young men who lifted weights, and they go, I want to do it. I can hold it all night. You know, and then they're just had to crack up. Every one of them succumbed. Every one of them. Because this world affords a lot of weight that we don't need to carry. And when we turn our faces toward God and we start praising God, he says, praise me for who I am. And I said, okay, give me some ideas. And he did. I was on the plane coming back after this massive word he gave me down there when I left that hotel. He said, number one, he said, I want you to praise me because I am one. I am one. And I went, okay. He said, but Nancy, it's more than that. You know, when I say I'm one, what do you think that means? I said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I get an A. And he said, and one more. I went, who? And he said, you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and you. We are one in Christ. Amen? And you know what? That means Sarah is one in Christ. Why do you think I love the tree? Amen? We're one in Christ. It's our choice. Amen? One choice away from your destiny. Amen? So, he said, Nancy, the rest of these I give you. I just want you to remember this. Everything that I say about myself, because we are one, it's in you. I love this. Look, the journey he took me on. He said, I am spirit. I am spirit, Nancy. Praise me because I am spirit. And guess what? If you be in me, your spirit. Listen, are you getting educated here? Your spirit. You know, we try to cling to the world's things, but he said, your spirit. Come on, get on the ship here. Amen? She did that class and had that ship with screens on it, you know? You know that when that submarine was going to go down, some people were going to get wet. He says, I'm infinite. What does he mean by that? I am infinite. Praise me because I'm infinite. Bigger than life. That's what it means. And guess what? You should be bigger than life. You should be like E.F. Hutton when you walk in a room. You should, when you speak with authority because you have the great I am in your heart. And you're one with him. Amen? And guess what? Look at all the friends that you have that you're one with. Amen? You'll never be lonely if you believe this. You'll never be lonely. If you say you're lonely, you're not telling the truth. You've made a decision to be alone. Amen? Sometimes we have to be alone to study, though. I'm not counting that. Okay. He says, eternal. I am eternal. If you be in Christ, you are eternal. Praise him for being eternal. He's eternal. Do you know you're eternal? Have you figured it out that you're on a road that's never going to end? Have you figured that out? Have you figured out that God is already preparing a mansion for you? Jesus said it's already in place. I saw mine. Don't you think that's a little bit cheating? Lets me go see it. Lets me walk through it. He explains to me what's in it. And then God says, now she has to go back. I did pitch a fit. I pitched a fit in heaven, by the way, because I didn't want to come back. And I am not going back to heaven until he's finished with me. And I'm very happy with that. And I long to be in heaven. I long to be there because of what I saw. Amen? I am homesick for heaven. And I have been homesick for 22 years because that's when that experience happened. For 22 years, I've walked with the secrets in my heart and knew what I'm looking at. And yet all along the way, the reason he sent me back is because he brought me to this place. Amen? Not just a little mother in my home and not wanting to go anywhere and hiding. And I mean, it was like an act of God for Debbie to get me out of my house when I was younger. Wasn't it? And I mean, it was a big deal. And now look what God has done. And he wants to do that with you too. Even greater things. Amen? He's also unchanging. He does not have PMS. He doesn't. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and he's unchangeable for tomorrow. You can bank on it. You'll never make a mistake walking in his promises. Amen? No matter what anybody says, oh, that was in the Old Testament, that isn't today. Be careful. Be very, very careful. What applies to me in this day, in this hour, in America, of course, I know some other secrets he told me. He said, he's wisdom. Boy, that took me off the hook. It took me off the hook. I don't have to perform. All I have to do is study and be approved of the Word of God. Amen? And we're all at different levels and learning at different levels. And there's things that we're interested on this page. Maybe not so much in this season on this page. But God will get you around to it. Amen? And he wants to give you wisdom. Just ask him for it. And read Proverbs. He just loves it when you're partnering with wisdom. Amen? Let wisdom be your best friend. That's his plan. Amen? You'll blow people away. It'll just come out of you, and you didn't even go to psychology classes. Amen? Okay. Power and strength. Immeasurable power and strength. When you're praising God, he says, just remember whatever you're praising me for. What does it talk about there in Isaiah chapter 11 when it talks about Jesse and the root? And what does it say? It says that the Spirit of the Lord is in me. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is in wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord is in knowledge and understanding. The Spirit of the Lord is in counsel. The Spirit of the Lord is in strength. And the Spirit of the Lord is in the fear of the Lord. Amen? And that is all in you because Christ is in you. Amen? I say it again. You're one choice away from your destiny if you only believe. Listen and believe. Amen? What do you think, Sarah? Justice, goodness, truth. Those are part of your character. Let God display it. He's absolute. He says, I am absolute. Praise me because I'm absolute. And listen, he has been absolute with me. Amen? From my husband to the call that God has sent me around the world, I'll tell you, he has to be an absolute God to set that in place, to take care of those needs within me, being away from my husband and missing him so much. It's absolute what he does to just cradle both Henry and I, knowing what we're doing, what we're walking. Henry will be the first to tell you, she is the feet to my faith. He does not like to travel. Him coming up here to Anchorage is a big deal. You guys are going to have to really say thank you for coming up here because he does not like to come to Anchorage. He just is one of those people that does not like to travel. I know other men that are like that. I know a lot of women that are that way. They don't like to travel. They don't even want to get out of their neighborhood. I used to be that way. He's knowledgeable. He's all-knowing. He will finish your sentences if you let him. Amen? He says, I'm goodness, I'm love. And I'll tell you, out of this list, when he was having me write it down, when he said, I am love. You know, and we hear love, and we say love. And I try to be very honest when I say I love somebody. I don't tell somebody I love them unless I really mean it. Amen? But I want to tell you something. When he gave me the word love, he said this. And I am a jealous God. Lord, why did you throw that in the mix? That isn't something I want to praise you for. You're a jealous God. He said, listen to me. I am a jealous God. And he said, Nancy, you're jealous. I said, I am not. And he says, yes, you are. I watch you. I watch you when you watch a friend who decides they don't want to go to their church anymore, or they don't want to do this, or they don't want to do that, and they're deceived. He said, I've watched you. It breaks your heart. You try to do everything to encourage them and counsel them. When you see a marriage that is starting to fall apart, I watch you. You're jealous for righteousness. He said, I'm a jealous God, and you're jealous too. And it was the first time in my life that I realized all the times that I thought I was being jealous, and I fought that. I never wanted to be jealous. It's an icky feeling inside of you. But all the times after I became a Christian and I was jealous, I didn't have that icky feeling. What I had is I wanted to protect my friends or protect a situation. Or, you know, the one I protect the most is my husband. The one that protects me the most on this earth is my husband. Amen? Amen? So, he's a jealous God. Figure it out. Did a season in your life come where you saw me rise up jealous? I did. It was strictly because I wanted to protect her as a friend. You know, because there's situations and churches and places to set your money, places that you start to follow somebody that's not righteous in the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, it's like if somebody mentions somebody that they're going to be involved with and they ask me what I think, I don't tell them. I start praying. I start praying with all my might that God will open their eyes to see and their hearts to hear, and that God will reveal it so that I don't try to filter through a judgment that's not my right. I just start interceding for them and saying, Lord, if you've opened this avenue for them and it's because you want me to change my mind on this because you've changed it, I'm open to it. But I'll tell you what, I'm sending them out there and I'm going to send them knowing and trusting you're going to protect them. I'm trusting you to open their eyes to see so they don't get into trouble. Amen. That's what God does with us every day. Praise him for it, but praise him for what he's put into you. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyway, it goes on about his grace, his mercy, praise him for his righteousness, praise him for his holiness. So enough of that. But one point is listen to how people get up in front and praise God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're listening to me tonight, what's going to happen? You may be in the front row, the back row. You may even writing a note or something. And all of a sudden, somebody's going to start coming out with words of praise to God, and your head is going to snap. And you're going to look at them, and you're going to listen, and you're going to hear them praising God. And I'm going to tell you, if you really listen, and you're very spiritual or spiritually sensitive, what you're going to sense in the room is an atmosphere change. And the angels are going to start filling the room. And the angels are going to be there because God was praised. And you're going to see a happening take place in that church. Amen? And if your pastor and your worship leaders and your intercessors are praising God, you're going to see a transformation in your church. These are basics. Amen? They're basics, and I tell you no lie. Okay, I'll leave the praise there. I'm going to give you the third cream of your cookie. And this is kind of neat, and it shocked me. He said, the third one, Nancy, is listen to the sound of prophecy. Listen to the sound of prophecy. I'm going, okay, wait. Lord, when you called me out to do the things that you've called me out to do the last 22 years, I said, you told me you did not want me to read other prophets' words. He showed me in Scripture that how that can be corrupted, how that the prophets began to start prophesying to the prophets, and the next thing you know, it's not going anywhere. And God's not even involved in those words that are coming. It's just man's knowledge, and they're building each other up. And God speaks about this in the Old Testament. Be careful. But because God was pulling me into a place where he wanted to trust me, and being from Alaska where I'm in the unusual place of not getting that information. I remember my church, they used to come in and they just lay piles of all these words of awesome people, and God said, don't read those. And he didn't just tell me that, he told my husband that. And then he told my husband to come back and reiterate to me, don't read those. And our leaders would bring that stuff in, and I mean, God love them, they can read it. But God said, Nancy, you can't read it because I can't afford to let you be tainted. That's why. I have to just hear what he says. I can't get in the club. I can't join the club. I'm not interested in it anyway. So when he said this about the prophet, I went, wait a minute, are you changing the rules? Does that mean I get to listen to the prophets? I mean, I get with people and they're always telling me, did you know so-and-so said this and you know so-and-so said that? And I go, no, I don't read them. I don't have anything against them. I just know what God told me to be careful of. And that's what I'm doing because I have to listen to what he's telling me to do, okay? And if you listen to what I'm saying and God's told you not to listen to me, then don't listen to me, okay? I'm not going to be offended. I'm just telling you what he told me to say. If you have ears to hear, hear. Okay? So he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not changing the rules. He said, what I want you to do is you walk through the group and you say this to them. Listen to the way you prophesy to your sister, to your wife, to your husband. Listen to what you're saying to your coworkers. Listen to what you're speaking. Because are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Do you know that we're prophesying every day? We prophesy to ourselves, I can't do it. Or we prophesy, I'm going to do it anyway. That's what he's talking about. Listen to the sound of prophecy in your personal life. Husbands and wives, they have a tendency to either tear each other down or build each other up. Listen to the sound of what you're saying to each other. Build each other up in the kingdom of God. Amen? And there is so much negative out there that pretty soon, you know, a house gets divided. The house gets divided. One of the members says, this is too charismatic for me. I don't want any of this. In fact, I prophesy that she's probably in witchcraft. And the next thing you know, that one, you might as well just said your wife is walking in witchcraft. You know, and I don't know what to say about any of that. I just do what the Lord tells me to do. When the Bible says, Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do, you will hear my husband get up and say, my wife only does what the Father tells her to do. And that is the truth. Amen? That's the truth. So what are you saying? Matt, when you get married, you be careful about you speaking to your wife because you can build her up or tear her down just like that. It's the same for your children. What are you saying to your children? How are you building them up? How are you tearing them down? Amen? What is it you're doing? I mean, sometimes we build them up too high and set them up for falls, and that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. If you go around, you have a daughter, and you go around, and you're constantly saying, you're such a princess, you're such a princess, you're such a princess. That's all she's thinking is, I'm a princess. Mommy and Daddy have called me a princess since the day I was born. And then they go off to college, and they're an average girl. Parents think they're princess, but when they get in the school, get to college, and nobody sees them as a princess, you want to know what's going to happen? Their self-esteem. They're looking for somebody to affirm them what mommy and daddy affirm. Let's be honest and let's be truthful. Let's not get out there in that vanity. Amen? Tell them the truth and build them up in the righteous things. Amen? It makes a difference what you prophesy, what comes out of your mouth. Amen? My buddies here, I mean, what is that word? Listen, if Debbie's screwing up, I tell her she is. In a nice way, but the truth. Amen? Amen? We've got to speak truth and honesty, lest we not grow. Amen? Praise the Lord. So those are the three creams that God wanted you to hear tonight. He wanted me to reiterate the word alliance, to work together, to bond together, to go across the street to the other churches. It's not about theology and denomination. It's about being one in Christ. Amen? And taking back our nation. And it's going to take probably one here and one there coming together to start making a difference. You know, we all say we want to see a revival. You're not going to see a revival. The revival starts right here. And it means getting up and going across the street and saying, let's just pray. And not even getting religious in our prayer. Just being honest and back to the basics. Amen? Does that make sense? Praise God. Just give me a second here and make sure that, you know, there's one thing I want to leave you with before you go tonight. First of all, did you hear some good stuff? Are you encouraged? Okay, what I want you to do is open to Psalms 133. Remember, I told you last year, God said he was going to cause a shift, and he did. And the world has not been anything like it used to be. Then he said, you tell them, I've caused a shift. And if they don't shift with it, they're going to drift. And he said, this year, not only shift, drift, but he said, this year is about sifting. Amen? I'll talk to you a little bit about that tomorrow night. It's not going to be tough. None of this is tough. It's so basic, but it's encouraging. Amen? Okay, Psalms 133. This is what he wanted to bring you, bring to an end with tonight. And this is so awesome, a promise that God gives you. This is how important it is to God, this word. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity." America, this is what is going to please God, is when we start going hand in hand again and walking in unity. Amen? Now listen to this. If you do this, this is his promise. Verse 2. It is precious. It's like a precious oil upon the head, running down like the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded blessings, life evermore. He's promising us that we dwell in unity. Listen to what he's promising. And if you want to understand what he's really saying here, go to Psalms 23. He says, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garment. What that is a precious, anointed fragrance of the oil of the Lord, your anointing that he is pouring down on you when you walk in unity. Nothing could separate you from him. When you're walking in that unity, it's good to dwell in it, because when you dwell in it, you're going to be a fragrance. You'll be a fragrance. And you know what else? Some of you, when you came in here yesterday, you looked like you were 20 years older than you are tonight. Some of you were looking pretty worn out. And I'm telling you that something's happening as we dwell in unity. We all came together and crunched together up here for healing. Amen? We dwelt in unity, and a fragrance began to be squeezed out of us like that alabaster box. And that fragrance has an anointing on it that is a call on your life that changes you. And it stirs back your youth and your health. Amen? Do you believe? And then the third scripture says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Do you know what that's about? How many of you know what it means to be hydrated? You know, us Alaskans, we're a dry land. We know what we need to do to hydrate our bodies. It's very dry up here, isn't it? If I were, you know, with the weather that we have up here, when Sarah and I went to New York, we had the same temperatures. But I'll tell you what, we were bundled up. We were freezing. We didn't have enough blankets. It was cold. And it was cold because it was a wet cold. And they're going, "Were you from Alaska? Why are you so cold?" I was freezing. And I said, "Because this is a wet cold. It goes right to your bones. It's the same in Georgia. It's the same in Ohio. That wet cold goes to your bones. But here in Alaska, that's why we can take those temperatures down to 10 and even 10 below. It's because of that dry cold. You dress properly, that dry cold doesn't go to your bones." That's the truth. And God is saying, when you walk in that unity and you walk in the freshness and the aroma of his anointing in your life, he says, "I also hydrate you. You're not dry. You're full of life." If I did a test on all of us in this room, I know that over half of us, they'd say, "You know, you need to drink more water." We just walk in a state of dehydration because of where we live, you know? Some of us get the sense, "Oh, we need to drink a lot more water." And I'll tell you what, when you start drinking a lot more water, you start feeling a lot better. But the word of the Lord is, he's saying here, he's relating it to the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. "For the Lord commanded the blessings, life evermore." Walk in the unity. Walk in the oneness. And watch how God's going to revitalize you. He's going to anoint you. There's a joy within you. Everywhere you go, every place you go, you're going to walk in that joy. You're going to walk in that new strength. You're going to walk in that energy. Amen? You'll find yourself wanting to hurry and come back here. You may lose a little sleep tonight, but you're going to want to hurry and come back here because it's like, man, it's like when I'm with those women, when I'm with those men, I mean, it's like they love me. It's like their prayers, they're straight on. Why do you think? Because of that word, unity. Amen? God is blessed. Amen? God is blessed when we get together, because when we get together, he's with us and we're all together. Amen? So I wish you a very good night tonight. Amen? We're not going to do any prayer tonight. This is a night I want you to go home, and I want you to ponder. I want you to ponder the alliance. I want you to ponder on the things of God about prayer. How do you pray? What is your expectations when you pray? And how do you praise God? Do you praise him for what he's done? He's certainly done a lot. But you know what? Praise him for who he is first. And watch what God will do and transform in your life. And then he says, I want you to praise me in your prophecy. I want you to listen to the sound of your prophecy. Listen to what you're saying. Are you building up? Are you tearing down? Amen? I said it was going to be basics. You come back tomorrow night, and I didn't tell you what the bow and arrow are, but tomorrow night you're going to know what the bow and arrow are. I'm going to tell you your excuses. Amen? We're going to get rid of excuses tomorrow night. Amen? Praise God. I love you guys. You have a good night's sleep.